Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our Season 5 head-to-head debate. With only one season to go, the stakes are higher than ever. This season, in our North Corner, we have Katie's Choice, Episode 511, Meet the Parents, duking it out against Stephanie's Choice, Episode 514, Life is a Cabaret. Which episode will reign victorious? Your votes will decide. So let the battle begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to our Season 5 head-to-head debate.
Welcome and bienvenue.
We're here.
We've made it. The longest season yet.
I was preparing for this, and this is a very high-stakes episode. This is a very high-stakes head-to-head.
I was telling Katie, I'm feeling very manic today. Just like a lot. It feels like a lot is on the line
right now. We're going for all the glory in this one,
This is a big season.
I know this is your very favorite episode. Yours is your very favorite episode of the entire series.
It is.
Mine is definitely one of my favorites.
Yep.
This season. I already told you Grad Night was my favorite one ever.
Yeah. It's going to be a difficult show. Well, Katie,
but I'm ready.
Okay. I am too. Emotionally, spiritually, digestively, I'm ready. I've got my sangria. And
I got a mimosa. I got a big fat mimosa today because we're recording on a Saturday morning. So I thought that was very spirit.
A pretty generous pour as well.
Brunchy. Sangria is a brunchy vibe too. Yeah. So
it is 10 a.m. after all.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. So before we do get started, though, I have some news and we did some polls also. Yes. So let's go over that. This is unrelated to Schitt's Creek, but I saw the Little Mermaid movie this past weekend with some friends.
Did you like it?
Oh, it was fine. It was just live version of Little Mermaid, you know. Very long for a children's movie, and we took two children, one of which was getting pretty antsy at the end. So too long in my book. Could have been shortened. But the point of that is Schitt's Creek related. I saw that Catherine O'Hara voices a new character in Disney Pixar's new movie Elemental that comes out this week.
Oh,
so Catherine O'Hara, I recognized one of the voices in the little trailer and I was like, hey, I know that voice. It's Catherine O'Hara. Elemental.
Is it like Inside Out kind of?
Similar, but like with nature. So there's fire characters and water characters and earth characters, and there's some other group, but she plays one of the water characters. So just a little fun fact, she's in there. Also, Annie Murphy's episode of Black Mirror finally came out. I know we talked about her being on one a little while back.
It did come out.
She's in the very first one this season, and it came out, and the episode title is Joan is Awful, and she is Joan. So I only saw just a few previews for it, and literally everybody in the Facebook groups are posting about it, and it's funny. It's one of those things where you want to be like, hey, guys, did anyone know Annie Murphy's in a Black Mirror episode? Because if you scroll through the page, you can see it 10,000 times. Just in case you didn't know, she's in a Black Mirror episode.
FYI.
So, yes. So that came out. How were the Tonys? Did you watch any of them?
Tonys were great. I had a little bit of there was a tornado warning in our area. And so it was interrupting the broadcast. But I was able to switch over to DVR, which, because like I said last week, we use my mom's Michigan based cable subscription. And so we switched to DVR, which put us on her local station. And then I was able to just bypass all of that stuff. I missed a couple things. I saw part of the Anne Juliet performance montage. They were nominated for 9 Tonys. Unfortunately, they did not win any of them. But it was still really fun to see the clips and the little bits from the show. But overall, I really enjoyed the Tonys. I'm there have been so many nights this week that I'm scrolling on my phone because now I just want to see all these shows. And I'm Sushant, can we just go to New York for a day? Can we go see a matinee? Is this realistic? And he's looking at me like, what do you think? I'm like,
I mean, it is.
I really
you're two grown adults with no kids, dinks, as they say, double income, no kids. You can do whatever the hell you want with your money, Steph. You can go to a Saturday matinee.
I was like, can we even just go for a week and just knock them all out in a week? Because I enjoyed the Tonys so much. The one thing that was kind of weird. So first of all, Writers Guild still on strike, and traditionally they write the script for the
jokes
Tony Awards
and stuff like that.
And
like
so this year, in solidarity and kind of in an agreement with the guild, they had no writers, which meant all of the presenters just went
got up and ad-libbed.
Well, didn't even a couple like Nathan Lane tried to ad lib a little bit, but everyone else pretty much just came in. I think
did their business,
did their business and left. So they came in, announced themselves. Here are the nominees. So
which
it went
goes to show you
faster.
How important writers are. If these funny people can't even come up with their own shit.
Ariana DeBose, who was in the West Side Story, Steven Spielberg recent film a couple years ago, she was the host, and the opening number was just dancing, no singing, no anything. Again, like to show, you know, solidarity with the writer's strike. And so that was kind of cool. And then she kind of said, yeah, everything we're doing is just kind of ad-libbing. So, you know, be patient with us kind of thing. The one thing that was kind of weird, though, was some John Kander and Joel Grey, who were the Lifetime Achievement Award winners. Apparently, they did like a pre-show when they got their awards that wasn't televised. And during the actual broadcasted ceremony, they announced them. And these men are both in their 90s. And they kind of like hobbled halfway out the stage, did a little wave, and then were rushed off the stage. Like they didn't really get to speak or anything. And so like they had their moment at the pre-show, but like nobody watches the pre-show. And so that part was kind of awkward. So
you again, they were getting there for cabaret reasons.
Yeah. And then they just like, they like shooed them off the stage.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
I'm too old to speak. Sorry about it.
Also, fun fact, Joel Grey is Jennifer Grey's father. Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing.
From Dirty Dancing. No kidding.
Yeah. So she's a legacy. She's in a legacy family.
Well, good. It's a bummer for Anne Juliet, but.
Yeah, I would still totally go see it.
It's like one of those things where it's just an honor to be recognized, you know,
totally.
And nominated. So we did two polls. One poll, Stephanie, I think you and I were both surprised at the results.
Yes.
And it was probably one of our most participated polls ever.
Great.
That was the what are your thoughts on Stevie's feelings for David poll. And I will say, I gave three options. So the first option was no, just friend zone. They're just friends. The second option was kind of my middle ground option, which is if you love someone, let them go. And then the third was always will, still does, will always have feelings for him. And at first, that option soared ahead. That option had almost all the votes at first. And I was like, what is going on?
I literally saw the results. I'm like, do we have a major blind spot here? That's truly how I feel.
Yeah.
Like.
In the end, it did kind of level out between the three options, but that was still the winner. 37% of the votes the last time I saw it. And the other two were kind of split 30-30-ish.
Okay.
So I was just shocked. And even a listener wrote in and thought, I cannot believe anybody is selecting anything other than friends. And Tiffany wrote in, to her point, I did say, well, if you love someone, you could still want the best for them. So I think that's why she was kind of leaning on the still had feelings for him side. But
yeah,
I don't know. I thought you and I had very, very well established just the friend zone thing when we discussed it. But good.
But you know, sometimes when you're so deep into something like we are into Schitt's Creek, like sometimes you can miss little nuance,
right? Like
you
said, a blind
interpretations.
Spot.
Yeah. So I feel like maybe we do have a bit of a blind spot. Definitely moving forward into this last season, I am going to keep that in mind a little bit more as far as the Stevie David thing. Like maybe I'll notice things I haven't seen before.
Right. What have we missed up until this point is what I'm also wondering.
Do we need to start this whole thing over?
No,
we don't have time.
I'm gonna put my foot down on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think but I was
not that I dislike this journey, but
I was glad to ask that question because I remember you said last week you're like when you see that in the Facebook groups you're like I don't see that at all, but apparently a lot of people do.
It's a thing. So good, thanks for participating though. I did like all of the participation, and I liked how staggered the results were in the end. It was pretty level, but that was a very surprising poll. The other poll I put out was about superstitiousness, I guess. You would say it
stitiousness.
I think this is where I fall, and an overwhelming majority of our listeners fall, in over 50% were a little stitious, like Michael mm-hmm. Scott stitious. So, like, you know, mm-hmm. a little bit here and there. Only 8% are as serious as 7 years bad luck, like break mm-hmm. a mirror, don't let a black cat cross your path,
don't walk under any ladders.
Yeah. And then the rest were none at all. I think I fall in that mid-range category. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's more like karma than anything, mm-hmm. not really superstitions. Like,
yeah.
I don't buy that under a ladder or breaking a mirror stuff, but I definitely try to put good out there to get good yeah. back, you know?
Yeah, I think karma has a way of balancing the universe a lot of the time.
So, fun fact, karma is my latest T-Swift favorite song.
Okay.
And there's a
play that at the concert.
It was the very last song. Yeah.
Okay.
And one of the lines in the chorus of that song, which I think you'll appreciate, is karma is a cat purring in my lap because it loves me, flexing like a goddamn acrobat. So that's one of my newest favorite T-Swift songs. And I actually, right after the concert, ordered a shirt I saw a guy wearing off of Etsy. That's a cat, like, with its hind leg up. Uh-huh. Like, it was licking itself, and then it has that line on it. So
that's awesome. Oh yeah, you were at the concert. That was just a week ago.
Oh God. I didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was after we recorded last week. So that was awesome, of course.
Yeah.
I won't go on about it because it's not Schitt's Creek related, other than that cat line, and we were just talking about karma. But it was an amazing show. It was definitely one for the books. Just a big 3-hour long sing along, basically. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And I felt like an imposter because I know probably 75% of the songs, but the ones mm-hmm. I didn't know at all. Mm-hmm. And clearly everyone else there did because they were all singing. And I'm like, whoa, I don't belong here. I'm taking someone's seat. So, but it was fun. It was a really awesome. Fun time.
Cool.
Well, Katie. Well, should we duke it out?
Let's
you got your boxing
out.
Gloves on.
I've got my sangria
drinking gloves on.
My drinking gloves, yeah.
I'm ready. I'm so ready.
All right.
So
do a little quick refresher of the categories.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Why don't you run down how this is all going to work?
Yes. So remember, every season we've got 5 categories. We're going to go take turns through the 5. First one is Roses in Bloom, which looks at character development of one of the roses. But we've now agreed, I think both of us agree, that Stevie and Patrick fall under that umbrella of roses.
In the family.
Okay. It's official. And then we have Say That Again, where we're looking at classic one-liners throughout the show. Local flavor can be any small towny moments, things that, you know, remind you of small town life would only happen in a little town like Schitt's Creek. And then we have aesthetic, which is any of the visual eye candy, i.e. wigs, fashion, props, etc. And then our final category is all the feels. So all of those heartwarming, funny, shocking, jaw-dropping moments will go in that last category. And then throughout the upcoming week, starting on Monday, you will be doing us a major favor if you can vote on each of the categories, what your favorite episode was within that category.
If we can get as much participation in that as we did the Stevie Spielings
poll, it's going to be a
good. It's going to be a good race.
I think last season we were 2-3 with the categories, and mm-hmm. I think it's going to be another really tight race. I hope it's going to be really another tight race today.
Last season stung for me a little bit. I mean, it wasn't my favorite of the show, but it stung a little bit.
Well,
but
we're gonna go for it.
We're gonna see how it goes.
So we'll see how it goes. So should we get started? Those are our categories.
Yeah. Do you want to do just a quick synopsis? So tell everyone what your episode was in case we've forgotten.
In case you were in a coma
from 1 week ago.
My episode was Life as a Cabaret. It's the cabaret episode, the grand finale of season 5, where Stevie has her shining moment on stage. Great conversation with Moira. Ted is leaving for the Galapagos after the show. David and Patrick are in their sort of engagement afterglow, trying to figure out the best way to tell people of their engagement. And yeah, it's a great episode.
And then mine was 5/11, Meet the Parents. And in that episode, the major storyline is that David is planning a surprise party for Patrick and invited his parents. And lo and behold, they knew nothing about their relationship. So this kind of snafu by Johnny opens a huge can of worms for the day. So that's the major drama. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Moira and Alexis head out to a soap opera convention, which is kind of a fun side storyline going on in that mm-hmm. episode.
All right.
So that's it. So let's get into our first category, Roses in Bloom. And
you've done too much for me already. You do too much for me. And so, I think it's time that I give something back to you.
My Fitbit?
No, I lost that. But the last thing I want to do is stand between you and this job. You've worked so hard, and I'm so proud of you. And so, yes, Ted Mullins, I will go to the Cayman Islands with you.
They better use the same travel agent, otherwise she's going to end up in the wrong place.
I didn't run any of the sound bites by Stephanie this time. I just picked him at random, so I'm excited to see your reaction. But I thought that was a good moment of growth for Alexis and not in one of our episodes, of course.
Totally.
So why don't you, you want to open us up, Steph, as the winner of last season?
Sounds good. So my Roses in Bloom category, I've got a little talking point for each of the roses plus our two honorary rose members, starting with Alexis, which is a great lead-in from that audio clip. In my episode, Alexis is quite literally getting ready to eat, pray, and love for herself. She's going to be heading out after cabaret to be with Ted in the Galapagos Islands, Alexis. but this is a big move for her because she is taking a supportive role in this life experience. This is Ted's opportunity, once in a lifetime opportunity for him career-wise. And it's not going to be a vacation for her, which is what she's used to, where she can kind of be the Instagram girlfriend, so to speak. So she is going to support her man. This is going to be in an environment that is not her comfort zone. And even now we've talked about how she's put down roots in Schitt's Creek. So it's harder for her to leave than it ever was, you know, before when she talked about all these crazy international experiences she's had. So she values her relationship, though, with Ted enough to give it a try, to put herself out there in a very vulnerable vaccine requiring situation, leaving important things behind, including this career, which she's still like in the early development phases of.
That's
with Alexis
Rose
Communications. So this is a very big, you know, transition for her, especially Alexis.
It's new water for her.
New water. We all know Alexis was my least favorite character when this show started. And now it's like, look at her transformation. I think that's huge from where we started with Alexis to where we are now, being very selfless. But even still, like, Galapagos sounds like a great place, even if there's mosquitoes. And
yeah, I mean, even if it's not
turtles.
That kind of vacation, I would still love to go there.
I would still love to go there. So that's my explanation of Alexis's growth. Johnny is also experiencing some growth here. He's having to process a lot of big life moments for his kids. Alexis is leaving. David is engaged, which he finds out during the middle of cabaret and has to kind of process in real time. But we see him now, maybe more than ever, really demonstrating that true fatherly love. Whereas we've heard these stories again of their past life where the parents are kind of aloof and too busy to really keep an eye on mm-hmm. their kids and what they're doing. And now Johnny just gets to really soak in his kids' accomplishments and be a proud papa. And so I think
he's really interested.
See.
Yeah.
Very interested and cares about his children deeply. Has a real sweet moment with Alexis too when they're doing their little hand holding seance that Moira mm-hmm. bails on. But I think we just get to see Johnny be a great dad, and we know he's fumbled so much, especially this season, especially in your episode. He's ending on a little more of a stable note here. And then we've got Moira, which just with her show with Cabaret, all of that hard work coming to life. We've heard and again seen snippets of her career, but this is really showcasing that she has what it takes to be an amazing director and producer. She's put this whole show together, but also learning to step back and let others shine on the stage is a huge thing for her. And so
it was really nice to get to see her like prove her, I mean, not her only worth, but like just her value in that type of industry.
Her value. Yeah. Because it takes a lot to be a star, but also to cultivate that in others. And I think she's realizing that she can do both. And she did it really well with Cabaret. And then David just getting to share his news. I like his, you know, everything goes downhill when he's trying to curate mm-hmm. this perfect engagement story, but just the moment he got to have with Stevie, I think is probably the most special, and also kind of acknowledging like Stevie's feelings and making sure she's okay. And that's a big part of the episode.
Just a good friend status.
And then I'm just going to link in Patrick and Stevie real quick at the end of this list with Stevie coming to accept that David, like we said, we've realized is not her person. And she's realizing that too. And we, at least you and I, Katie, feel that she is able to be truly happy for him and Patrick, but she's also now looking towards herself and, okay, well, what's next for me? And what am I going to do and step out from behind that desk, quite literally, as she says with Moira. And then just Patrick, I love that he gets to find his space on the stage and in this theater community. I think that's such a great way to see Patrick's season end, especially thinking about where we started in season five. Like, they had just started dating, and it's just like, or no, they've been dating for a couple seasons.
No, they've been dating for season four.
Season four,
so
okay.
Grad night was the end of season three, and that's when they had their first date.
You're right. So it's been a couple years, but even just some of the important relationship moments that have happened, like they, you know, Patrick moved into his own place, and you'll talk more in your episode as well about with his parents, but this just felt
well,
like
even
a,
David says in his little speech, they 2 years ago, he met someone. So since they met, we don't know how long after they met that they started dating. So yeah, what a big
this
a big
feels
difference.
Like just a victory lap for Patrick in this episode, quite honestly, for everything that he's been able to accomplish in these last 2 years in Schitt's Creek. So yeah, that is my roses and honorary roses in bloom. Full
roses
bloom.
Roses and honorary roses.
Take a whiff of those flowers.
They smell fresh. Except for Johnny's. Which I will start with now.
Okay, go for
roses in bloom. If we could have an opposite category called wilting roses, Johnny would win that fucking category in my episode. So very briefly, Johnny does the complete opposite of blooming. He puts his whole foot in his mouth in this episode and just ruins the whole plan. Actually, in hindsight, truthfully, it would be a blessing in disguise, because how awkward would it have been for all of that to come out at the party? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any real high points for Johnny in the roses in bloom category in this episode, than it helped things advance a little more quickly. Mm-hmm. So nothing for you, Johnny. But Alexis, real quick, has just a quick little, like, she's in kind of the side story this week with Moira, and she does really step into her role as her mother's publicist. I love that she forces her to go to the soap opera convention by reasoning with her and the fact that she did an adult diaper commercial in Japan. Like, Moira, put your life in perspective, please. This is easy money and you need to get over yourself, basically. So good on her for stepping into that. And she was really into the role at the show. She was talking with Gloria Gregson behind stage and came out and announced all the rules to all the Dewey Face Salamander people. And she just like really took over. So just a really good step for her career. Moira stepping out of her comfort zone for the soap opera convention is a huge moment of growth for her. But I think it took obviously Gloria Gregson to help her get out of this fear that she had. So when she saw Gloria, you know, she was immediately embarrassed to be there, thinking, I can't be seen here. But then, of course, when she recognized her, it was all like, oh, so good to see you. And it turned out to be a really cathartic talk with Gloria, because she made her realize, made Moira realize that, you know, there's a freedom to letting go. I think she said that word for word. Nobody, I don't have to hustle for roles. I don't have to like care what other people think of me. And that really opens Moira's eyes, which she has always cared what people think of her. And I think she realized in the famous words of Alexis that people aren't thinking of her the way she is thinking of herself. So that was a really big thing for Moira to go to the soap opera convention. It was way outside her comfort zone. Presumably something that she was above for so many years, but now look at her. She's getting $50 or $75 a foot pick.
A foot pick. So. And I'm glad you mentioned that conversation with Gloria, because I don't know if Moira could have been such a good like enabling director if she didn't have a conversation with
you think
Gloria.
So?
I think so, because she was so caught up in like the optics of her reputation and being like
right
in a certain way that I think her directorial skills probably improved because of that revelation.
It's definitely something too that's going to help her in season six, this whole new Moira vibe. So it's given her, I think, a little bit more confidence than she had before. Because you don't think of Moira as an insecure character, but
in season one, she was like, I don't know who I am.
In that industry, how could you not be insecure? Mm-hmm. So I think it was a really good moment for her. And then, of course, the main storyline, we have the two boys, and both of them just showed enormous growth. David stepping in as like the caregiver or the, you know, the, I don't know what you want to call it, the adult for once in their relationship. Mm-hmm. Patrick is always the take charge guy. He even says that.
And crisis David is management, literally.
Yes. Like, David is so supportive, and for once realizing that something that very well could be about him is not about him, because he did, we talked about this in my episode, have every right to be kind of mad at Patrick for not letting them know and him being kind of a secret. But he realized in that moment, like, okay, this is way more serious, because now my boyfriend is in this position where he's about to do something life-changing that he wasn't even planning to do today. So very good on David for just, you know, what a mature moment for him. And he's so supportive. And even going to the brewer's room after the fact too, and sucking it up and having that conversation, like, how fucking brave. I mean, he already knew the shit hit the fan. He already knew what was going to happen, and he had to go kind of smooth things over. So just very mature, very brave, very, I don't know what else I can call him. Amazing on David in this episode. And of course, Patrick coming out, obviously the ultimate bloom here. Everyone in town knew, everyone in John and David's family knew, of course, but we knew nothing about him or his past. Or if anybody from any other part of his life knew about his sexuality, and to be kind of forced into it, I can't imagine just the level of emotions for him to be like, oh shit, now what am I going to do? To like, even after David just offered to be his business partner, no, I'm not going to have you do that. Again, how fucking brave. And of course, we knew what the outcome was going to be before it happened, but he had no idea. So this is just a huge moment for Patrick. Obviously, that's the major takeaway from this episode. And even David says, like, what you're going through is very personal and should only be done on your terms. And while it wasn't really done on Patrick's terms, he kind of turned it around so that it was.
Given said, the circumstances.
No, I'm going to do this.
Put as much power back into his hands as can, you know, be realistic.
So Stevie wasn't super involved in my episode, so
she was a supportive friend in that moment.
She was a supportive friend, but no major growth for her in this episode. She wasn't a big part of the storyline, so her and Johnny especially don't get any blooms here. But the rest of them got a little props.
He got some negative bloom points.
What is our next category, Stephanie?
Our next category, Katie, is say that again.
Oh, David. Could be worse. You guys could be a total power failure.
Eat glass.
I think that's the most iconic one-liner from this season.
Their sibling rivalry banter really makes me like wish that I would have been more on the money growing up with my brothers. Like, I wish I was a little more quick-witted.
Yeah, and witty. Like,
yeah, maybe I'll have to make up for lost time.
Speaking of just like quicklets, but siblings bickering, I went to my niece's last week to get my hair done, and my friend Tara met us for dinner, the four of us. So it's my two nieces who are sisters, close in age, like 20 and 22, and me and Tara, who are both adults. And after we left, Tara was like, are they always like that? Because they bicker constantly. I said, yes. As a matter of fact, when they were kids, my mom would only take one of them at a time because she couldn't stand listening to them. So they're very much like bickering siblings, but they're not as witty as David and Alexis, so it's not quite as entertaining.
Oh, yeah. But
the one-liners.
You can go first with this one.
I'll start this one. This is always kind of a notoriously short category. So a couple of my favorites from Moira first. One comes from the opening scene At 9 a.m., it's a little earlier for character assassinations when David accuses them of not being able to keep a secret. And she also says, when he says he's inviting the parents, well, things are certainly racing along at a dangerously rapid velocity. So that's another good Moira line. And then at the soap opera convention, I can always count on Moira for good lines.
Yeah.
Always.
Truly.
So the fiscal sweetener negates any discomfiture one might feel exploiting their extremities for a $20 bill. Which, side note, I'm in a cat group on Facebook called This Cat is Chonky. It takes over my feed. And so I'm scrolling through and this guy took a picture of his cat getting ready to eat and his feet were on either side of the cat and he blurred them out. And all of the comments were about, oh, no free feet pics here. No, you're worth, honey. Yes. Once again, feet pics, very valuable.
Yes.
And then the one from Johnny, although this is not really a one-liner, it's just something kind of amusing that I thought he said. Once David has this conversation with Clint and Marcy, Johnny's just so relieved. And he says, well, good. Then no one really has to feel bad about how this information came out. And I just love that he says that. And I also love the side eye that David gives him in that moment. And then the last two are from David. And we talked about them in my episode. They're two very little clever writing bits. Mm-hmm. One is when he's talking to Clint and Marcy and he says, no, you guys have to come to the party. He's going to tell you tonight. So I think it's best we just keep him in the closet until then. Mm-hmm. So that's one. And in the same kind of area, when he's talking to Patrick and has to fess up that he invited his parents, he says, well, you're going to laugh yourself right out of the closet with this one. So just some witty writing there. Also, definitely. Obviously, Moira always has good lines. And then David had a few zingers this week. Yeah. So
nice.
What about you, Steffi? Let's hear them.
Yeah, I've got quite a few Moira zingers as well. Like you said, she's pretty reliable in that department.
She sure is.
One of my favorite lines of the whole series, starting in kind of the beginning of the episode, where she's talking with Johnny and Alexis and says, we are all on the precipice of greatness.
I do love that one.
And that's totally true, you know, with her. You know, the show's coming out, the motel's heading in a good direction. Alexis is off to an island of some somewhere. Sort. Somewhere. The Crow's movie, maybe. The engagement, all good things. What a great way to kind of encapsulate everything going on for them. And then I also love backstage during the show where she mentions that she's, you know, letting Stevie wear one of her wigs, Magdalena, and says she's only ever once let anyone borrow another wig, and it was when David was desperate to be Alanis Morissette for Halloween. And I can just picture that so vividly, especially because in the first episode of season 5 where they're trying on her wigs and he's got that little crop wig.
someone posted about that wig this week and how he looks like a character from the He-Man comics, which I can totally picture.
He totally does. Right. Yeah. So I'm kind of picturing something like that again. Also, when Stevie goes missing and Roland is on the phone with the police describing her appearance.
Looks like a vampire.
And Moira even like nods along. So yeah. She's skittish, mentions they might want to consider using a taser gun. Jesus. So just like painting a real picture here. Stevie's heartfelt moment I wanted to include where she's talking to Moira and says, you know, she's excited for everyone's big life changes, but just wishes she wasn't watching it all take place from behind the desk. I think that's a great way to just summarize her feelings.
That is such a good bit of writing there. I like that.
And then she gets to immediately thereafter step out literally on center stage and break free from that feeling. And last little bit, Alexis finally nails a pun of her own saying that Ted has to Galapago now. And Ted is just so like in love with her for stooping to his pun level that it's
good. I love you so much.
Love you so much. So yeah, that's my list.
You left out one of my favorite Moira lines from the show where she screams, what a unanimously disastrous day this is turning out to be. So fucking dramatic.
Well, I was even trying to put in maybe like a little bit from the end, but it's just like inaudible whimpering and I didn't really know how to organize that into a sentence. I don't know enough about semantics to like put that together into a one-liner. But yeah.
Good choices.
That's my list.
What do we got next? What's the next category?
It's going to get tasty with some local flavor.
You know, when I moved here and got a room with Ray, I didn't know how long I was going to be staying. Mm-hmm. Now here we are.
For me, this is bittersweet because on the one hand, I could lose you as a roommate, Patrick, but on the other, I would gain the commission.
Oh, Ray.
Ray Boutani is the best local flavor, am I right?
He really is. I'm kind of, my one disappointment with this episode is we know he's in Cabaret because we've seen his name on the cast board.
Yeah, we didn't get to see
him. We never got to see him in the show, and that would have just made this episode even sweeter. But some of my favorite local flavor moments just has to be like the local theater vibes of it all. You know, we talked about last week how we're kind of surprised and impressed how legit this production is, but at the same time, it is a local theater and they did a great job of set designing and even the performances the characters give. It doesn't feel too professional. So while it's still like super dynamic and exciting and impressive, it's not the Tonys, but that doesn't, that's okay. Like, I love local theater sometimes just as much, if not more, than, you know, big expensive productions. So I just love seeing the backstage bits, but also how they put it all together on stage. Also Ted in the audience with his program held up clenched fist the whole time. And just seeing our townies that we do get to see on stage as well. Also would have loved to see a little bit of Bob's performance too, I'm not going to lie. But we did see him
the
backstage.
The show's only a half hour sitcom.
It's only a half hour.
Half hour with ads, so less than that even.
I like that we get to see the cast party afterwards as well, back at the motel. Everyone's kind of still half in makeup. And that's very real.
Like,
that gives me flashbacks to high school theater. Yeah, the end of the show week. And we would go to like our director's house and there's like 10 kids in the hot tub. Everyone's singing show tunes and talking about what we're going to do next year. And just a great feeling all around. And then last thing I just wanted to note is just the wild goose chase trying to find Stevie in the middle of the episode. Like, first of all, the idea that you have to drive 30 miles to get a gift is very small town. Like, you can't.
That's very bad, X. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, I can drive 5 miles and go to like three different Targets where I live right now.
Me too. Me too.
And so just the fact that they're so isolated, it's very small town feeling. But, you know, the gesture she is going to get this really sweet gift, I think, is also really sweet. And I feel like those are, you know, kind of broad brush everything with Cabaret, but it all sort of encapsulates
it is
theater.
It is, though, a very small town, local, like little play feel. So.
Totally.
Mine's pretty short for this episode, but a couple of things did stand out to me. The first thing was Patrick's parents. So before Patrick knew that they were coming there, he had mentioned that he talked to the phone on them and he's like, oh, they had to hang up. They were on a weekend getaway and they were checking into their motel. And that I can definitely relate to, having grown up in Bad Axe, there's nothing to do there. Mm-hmm. So my parents would always go away. They would like pack up a cooler, take another couple friend and head to whatever, somewhere, anywhere, sometimes just drive with no plan and go just check into a random motel for a weekend for something to do. And recently, last summer, when we did that golf outing, I went with our couple friends, and just went for a weekend away. And I was like, yeah, this is what my mom and dad used to do. This is very random, but I feel like this is definitely a small town thing when you live somewhere where there's not a lot of things to do. And we don't really know where they live. I can only assume it's not that far away, another county away or a few counties away. But it wouldn't be uncommon. He didn't even like bat an eye because it wouldn't be uncommon for them to just go away to a weekend and check into a roadside motel.
Yeah.
Little did he know it was his roadside motel, but find that out. And then I was also thinking too, just about parents visiting their kids where they live. That's kind of a local, like, just a special thing. And I was like, man, even regardless of what everything else that happened, like the fact that they were coming to see him and finally see his business. And like, I can just imagine Patrick showing him around town. Like, it was an exciting weekend for them regardless. And now it turned out to be way more exciting for different reasons. But it's just like a mom and dad thing to do. Like, come see where you live and see where you work. And Patrick has a business. And this is where we eat dinner every night and all those things, you know. So just kind of getting to know a local town. Like, I could picture Patrick probably gave them the grand tour after this birthday party was over, you know. And then finally, once again, the party. is at the cafe, because where else would it be?
Yeah.
That's, it was either there or town hall, and the cafe mm-hmm. has food. So obviously a no brainer. I love that David is there in the morning doing a site survey for the party as if he doesn't know what the cafe looks like. So, but he did have to go just kind of go over everything with Twyla mm-hmm. and just yeah. set everything up. So just the local cafe brings it all together with that with Schitt's Creek, like everything else that happens mm-hmm. in that town. It's always yeah. there. So
it's the
that's
hub.
That. It's the hub. It really is. So okay. Next category, Steffi. What do we got? Aesthetic this
aesthetic.
Time?
Here. Thought we could head outside, maybe throw the ball around a little bit. This glove is brown. My shoes are black. What exactly are we doing here?
What exactly are we doing here?
It's a great question. I was so proud of myself for remembering that. I was like,
I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you? Yeah.
Oh my God. This does not match my shoes.
Katie, kick us off with some aesthetic.
Aesthetic. All right. So, okay, we'll do storyline by storyline. So I'm going to start with the Moira storyline. Moira, to me, is extra Moira-y today in her fashion. Even before she knew she was going to the convention show, her outfit already screamed Moira. Her stereotypical black and white, lots of fur, lots of feathers, lots of fringe everywhere. She has on these huge fishnet tights right away from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And once she gets to the convention, a leather jacket with a fur hood and these giant sunglasses when she tries to hide from Gloria Gregson. Mm-hmm. So she's definitely on her vibe here today. They had a new set in the soap opera convention to kind of design. We've seen the convention scene before, but the backstage area is kind of new. Just kind of had to put this little scene together, almost like the backstage in your episode, but not quite as fancy because mm-hmm. it wasn't for a theater. But it's like this hidden place where the public doesn't get to see. And we got introduced to this new character, Gloria Gregson. And you can just tell by her wardrobe and her hair and her presence. She's just this fresh, carefree character. Like, she didn't even need to talk for us to know that about her. I feel like they did a very good job of just mm-hmm. presenting her.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, we don't really see this aesthetic. Moira paints quite a picture of what she thinks a soap opera convention is going to look like in her lines. She says, a motley crew of dewy-faced, pale salamander people and a gaggle of asymmetrical faces. So that really strikes up an image of something. And then I also want to bring up something that I meant to bring up in my episode that we either gloss over, I didn't have time, but in the opening scene, she's in her jammies once again, mm-hmm. and she is wearing the infamous lobster brooch that I thought was a fly. And I cannot see it. I can't see it as a fly anymore. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. So she had her signature jammy vibe on in the very opening scene. So that was fun. Nice. And I had to bring up that lobster brooch, mm-hmm. brooch. And then the other thing, and the other side of the story, we were introduced to two characters, Clint and Marcy, and we talked in my episode just at how perfectly vanilla they looked mm-hmm. in their outfits and their just whole presentation. We mm-hmm. were deducing their careers. Marcy was a teacher, and Clint was like maybe an art gallerist or something, I think you said, or I thought maybe in finance.
Yeah.
Just very polished and white, stereotypical white people, I guess I would
white
say.
Ice cream in a white vanilla cone.
Yes.
In a white cup with a white spoon.
Good job at bringing them to their into their characters that way. And then the whole party vibe at the cafe. It's probably so fun for the crew to get to decorate a set mm-hmm. in just a little bit different way. You know, David's got the little string lights around the whole room, and he's got lanterns at every table and a fresh set of flowers. And at the end scene, there's clearly a disco ball somewhere because there's disco ball lights spinning and just champagne in the foreground. It's just a fun little look at the cafe, kind of out of the norm.
Yeah.
And even Moira for the party scene, like, gets in a whole nother vibe. It says Moira party vibe. She got a big sparkly dress on now mm-hmm. and a long red haired wig. And then finally, David's shirt in that scene was the ultimate icing on the cake. Mm-hmm. It's a big black and white shirt, and it's a giant heart that says, I believe in the power of love. Yeah. Just fitting
like
for the moment.
Just like a little extra support for Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's my aesthetic for my episode.
Great. I like that you brought up the asymmetrical faces, because that reminds me of, do you remember the like Instagram or Snapchat filter where you could check how asymmetrical your face was?
Oh yeah. And it flipped your face or whatever.
And
it flipped
one side or the other. Oh my God. Like nobody has a symmetrical face. Congrats if you do, but like it's very,
that's what makes us all unique, right?
It totally is. It just gave me flashbacks to that. Yeah. All right. My aesthetics. I'm going to start with first thing in the morning in the afterglow in Patrick's apartment, champagne in bed, and David just imagining that this is what married life will be like. And you shattered his dreams pretty quickly when we talked about that in last week's episode. Like, yeah, that's not how it is. But
if I want champagne in the morning, I got to get it myself.
But I like that he's, you know, Patrick's indulging them and having a moment. Also, just, you know, I could talk about all of Cabaret on stage, off stage. I think especially Moira's Sally Bowles urgent understudy look that she puts together, I think is just fantastic.
So good.
And like, you know, it's, there's something like, you know, Moira is such a fashion icon, but like seeing her in like character, she like go on stage and she's got like this vest with like a black bra underneath. And I'm like,
I was just kind of brought back to Patrick's. Should I wear my fringe dress or should I wear anything under it? Cause I was thinking, is she wearing anything under that vest?
She's got like a little strappy black bra. And I'm like, get it, Moira. Like she looks great. And I'm also just, you know, thinking what must have gone through her head when she's having to like quickly put together this look because she's about to go on stage and
where did this costume come from?
Scrape off the rust, hope there's some dazzle underneath or whatever she says. And then also the cast party fashion, just how like everyone's still like 25% in character with a little bit of costume, a little bit of makeup residue left over. And just,
that was a nice touch.
Yeah. I like even how like when Stevie shows up late and she's like in her costume halfway, but then she's got her classic Stevie flannel over top of it. I also noticed, we didn't talk about it, and maybe there's conversations in the groups about it, but Stevie's little like lingerie dress has a tag hanging off the back of it. Like when she,
when she turns around
after giving David the towels and Jocelyn is desperate to get her over there to start warming up and she heads back over to the group, she turns around and there's like a little tag hanging off. And so I don't know if that's like a continuity error, because I looked for it later and I didn't see it, but there was like a little tiny, like,
no, I didn't
retail
know that.
Tag hanging off.
Good eye, Stephanie.
Yeah, I only noticed it the last of the four times that I watched it in that one day. I was prepping last week.
Well, then you were just getting excessive at that
point. I was. And then I just want to give a little shout out to Johnny's corporate frame that he gives Alexis, that brushed steel. Again, a little bit of a setback for him, but he just, that's who Johnny is. That's his bread and butter. He lives in that corporate world. And next season, we'll see him get to revisit that a little bit. So wouldn't be Johnny without a corporate frame. And last little bit of props or aesthetic are just the towels that Stevie gives David and how thoughtful they are. They really compliment his bedding that he bought with Wendy's credit card back when he was working with the Blouse Barn. Just the classic black and white monogram, just very classic David. And it shows that she understands and sees who he is as a person in so many ways.
And really just ties it into the beginning of their relationship. Too.
Totally. So that, you know, he won't have to ask her for a towel thrice in one day. So, yeah, those are my little sprinkles of aesthetic.
Right. Well, we're down to the last category. Last category. All the feels.
And now, here he is. The love of my life. Standing in front of me. And this just felt like the perfect place to ask you to marry me. Are you sure? Easiest decision in my life.
The fact that the engagement moment isn't in our Simply the Best episodes just shows what a densely good season this was.
I know. And I even said when I went through that episode, like that could have easily been a contender.
Yeah.
But
that moment alone, but it's just,
It wasn't.
Mm-hmm. So many goodies. All right.
Am I all the feels. Off? Yeah. Kick us off, Steph.
I think I'm going to start with Johnny and Alexis. They have that sweet moment in the beginning where he's giving her all of these excessive gifts that she sees as a clear attempt to make her feel bad or rethink going to the Galapagos with Ted, but it's also just him struggling with the fact that his daughter is going to be leaving. And now he's like actually an invested parent and is, you know, worried about her, but also is going to miss her. And he gives her the gift, but also when they, like I said, he, Moira, and Alexis have like their little hand holding, we are on the precipice of greatness, little speech. And then Moira takes off to take a call, and he and Alexis just have a quick moment where he just like can't let go of his baby girl. And I think it's just such a sweet father daughter moment mm-hmm. that is very redeeming for Johnny in a difficult season. Also Stevie and David, when David comes into the hotel lobby and he's just like shimmering, and he brings her the flowers, and he's struggling to keep down his news that he's engaged. And of course he wants to tell Stevie first, and just the special moment they have there where she has a very heartfelt reaction, but then it leads to some confusion because she disappears and everyone's worried about how she really feels, but then she comes back. And they get to have a final heart-to-heart backstage before the show. And we kind of understand, at least, you know, we feel like we understand where they are at this point in the relationship and how much they care for each other as friends. Also, just watching David watch Stevie on stage, I think mm-hmm. everyone's reactions during Cabaret are so so important and special. Moira backstage literally tearing up in shock over Stevie. And just proud as everyone's going on stage, and she's like, and it's time to fly, my darlings. And just, mm-hmm. and it's time to have their moment. And just watching David watch everyone with a little bit of tears in his eyes. And
he's so proud.
Seeing the rest of the cast, like the Cabaret Kit Kat girls are in the wings watching Stevie, like everyone is just so supportive and happy mm-hmm. for each other. And then just seeing them on stage too, like letting Patrick have his moment as the MC is just my favorite. I'm so excited to see Noah Reed now. It's going to be like 6 months till I see him in Cincinnati when he comes here for his show. But like, and I know he won't be the MC in his concert. I'm aware of that. But like, just
you're going to love it. You're going
to
love it.
Just to see him perform live. I'm so excited.
Oh, and we'll have to see who's going with us to that.
Okay. Chicago. You guys are going to Chicago, right?
Probably Crystal and Dan, if I can convince her. I think she kind of wants to go, but
yeah. And then just Stevie having her moment where she's like, she's so deep into that character. She finally understands Sally and she understands herself a little bit better. And she's just, it's all coming together like in real time on stage. She can't even believe her own performance. It's just so powerful. Mm-hmm. I still cry every time I watch it. Moira's pep talk with Stevie too is really important, where she's like, how are you so cool? I would never say that about anyone in this town, but you are just authentically yourself, and it doesn't matter if you set sail or stay put. Who you are is never, and how you know secure in yourself you are is never going to change. And now go take Sally by the hand and show people what Sally could do if she was just a little bit more like you. I think it's just so like good. The best mom advice ever, and I think
so good.
Shows that Moira is now, you know, she's not having remember when she was having them do these crazy acting exercises and the intense improv choreography. Yes. And now when it really counts, she can be an inspiring director to get the best performance out of her.
Not only that, but she's like trusting then that Stevie's going to take it from there. You know, she's very trusting in her
cast. Yes, give her what she needs. And she's also mindful of Stevie's vulnerability. So she's not taking advantage of Stevie for the sake of the show. She's helping the show and she's helping Stevie at the same time. Like, she's not playing into Stevie's deficit or her anxiety. She's like acknowledging them and saying, use that in your performance. And then just that surprise cliffhanger that we usually don't get in a Schitt's Creek season where the Crows movie has been canceled, maybe inevitably, and Moira has to crawl into a closet, and we're all just left thinking, well, okay, what's going to happen next? This is not how these episodes or seasons usually end. So I like that we get a little bit of a dramatic ending too. And that's all the feels, Katie.
Oh, lots of feels.
Lots of feels.
Well, let me run down my feels, because literally this whole episode was a big fat feel.
A big fat feel.
I could literally go through the entire episode. Okay, so Newsflash, all of the feels come from the David and Patrick storyline. I don't have any feels about the Alexis and Moira storyline, mm-hmm. other than the fact that it was amusing and it had some few funny lines. So mm-hmm. it gave me the laughy, happy feels, I suppose. Yeah. But I have nothing specific to talk about because the other side of this episode was so anxiety inducing, mm-hmm. so moving, so happy ending, if you will. It just takes the cake to me.
Totally.
So starting from the opening scene, when David basically announces he invited Patrick's parents and is going to meet them for this first time, that's big deal. I was nervous for him.
Yeah.
Everybody else in the family was nervous for him.
It's and like when Jocelyn
Alexis says, oh my God, David.
Like, it's when Jocelyn's reading lines with Patrick for the auditions. What?
Yeah, it does. It has that feel like, are you sure? Okay. So then comes the moment we all dread in this episode. Mm. Just one scene later when Johnny is meeting Clint and Marcy for the first time and lets out that he, you know, he wasn't sure about those two being in business and a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. And it is evident from the moment those words come out of his mouth, they had no idea that he was in a personal relationship mm-hmm. with David. And when I tell you, I was sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. that is that gut feeling that you never want to have.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine Johnny as a dad in that moment. And he slowly realizes in that scene what he did. And after he says it, he just has this panicky, did I speak out of turn? Mm-hmm. Like there's so many emotions here. You're just, one, you're mad at Johnny. Yeah. Two, I'm sad for Johnny because, oh shit, like he didn't know, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel bad that he let that go, but he didn't know. You're sad for Patrick and scared for him at the same time because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. And then David has this whole surprise party that's probably going to get ruined because of all of this. So it's just,
yeah, this, a lot is at stake.
Oh my God. There's so much emotion, and it's not your typical, like when I think back to my other Simply the Best, it's not your typical like warm and fuzzy, all the feels. It's mm-hmm. completely stressed out this entire show, all the feels, mm-hmm. but like in a range of good and bad, if you know what I mean. So then we see David talking to Patrick and he's slowly realizing the truth, which is Patrick's parents know nothing about him. And like I said, you could kind of get a little mad for David. Like, what mm-hmm. was Patrick thinking, keeping this to himself this entire time? Mm-hmm. But you can't fault the guy. He hasn't been with his family. And that's kind of something you want to tell them in person. Mm-hmm. And then that whole speech, the whole discussion they have where you realize just how scared he was. He says, I know my parents are good people, but I can't shake this feeling that they're going to react mm-hmm. poorly to this news. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it puts you in that frame of mind that probably every bisexual, homosexual child has to go through. Like, shit, what the frick is my family going to say? Because mm-hmm. no matter how well you know them, you don't yeah. really know. Mm-hmm. So I think Noah Reed and the writing in the scene both do a really good job of just showing that anxiety and that fearfulness
yeah.
in that situation. David just stepping in to be this emotional support for him is just so moving. Like I said, it's a big maturity move for David. And it's so moving to me to see him be this supportive character for Patrick. Mm-hmm. And then again, we crank the anxiety back up when he goes to talk to Patrick's parents, because one, like that's a ballsy move, like, but he has to do it. Right. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what their reaction is. Like when he knocks on the door, it's like they were still just sitting there fuming in shock.
Trying to, like they haven't
don't
moved.
No. Yeah. And it seems like it's going to turn bad for a hot second. And we're all like, oh my God.
We
like,
think he's going to take a bite out of a vanilla racist ice cream.
Is this really or, going where we think it's
homophobic
going?
Homophobic or whatever. Like,
and just, we talked. Like we talked about how, why would we think that? This is Schitt's Creek. Nothing yeah. like that ever happens in Schitt's Creek. But yet here we are, like fearful that this is the outcome when Clint mm-hmm. says, no, I want to know, is it something we did? What blah, blah, blah. And I just love Patrick or David coming to Patrick's defense. He is still the same person, and God damn it, it's his birthday. So we're mm-hmm. not going to ruin this day for him. And then thank God, level-headed Marcy steps in and says, no. We're not upset with Patrick being gay. We just are sad that he didn't tell us. And mm-hmm. We can all let the wind out of our sails a little bit.
Even David's like, I thought this was going to get very dark.
I feel like David was on the verge of fainting.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then fucking Johnny comes in to ruin the mood. So if we're talking about all the feels, let's talk about annoyance here, because why does he always show up at the worst time? Like, they're about to have this really good conversation and Johnny knocks on the door. How are you, David? Happy, I hope. And we're just all so collectively annoyed at Johnny. Like, shut the hell up. You've done enough today. Mm-hmm. And he then also finds out that they're okay with Patrick being gay.
Yeah.
Which, after what he did, God, I hate him for that. But that has to be such a load off his shoulders. Mm-hmm. Because he was feeling so bad about what, mm-hmm. like, his snafu earlier yes. in the morning. So mm-hmm. I'm glad, like, we see the relief in his eyes. We see mm-hmm. the relief in David's eyes. Everybody's just, and then Clint and Marcy are just happy to be there. Okay, we're just going to go to the party, go on with it, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally at the party itself, we know the outcome, but Patrick, and David knows the outcome, but Patrick does not know the outcome mm-hmm. and what he's about to tell his parents. And so we still have this nervous energy going through this whole episode. And Patrick, I think it just shows such a bravery, but such a nervousness about him, and the writing and acting just do such a good job of displaying that. And the scene with him talking to his parents is so moving. Just, I think it's just a really good step-by-step of everyone's coming out story, where he says, oh, I guess this isn't as easy as I thought it would be, mm-hmm. which I don't know who thinks it's going to be easy, but he's, like we said, he has these supportive parents that he mm-hmm. thinks he knows what their reaction is going to be, but he doesn't know.
I think this is also a very good lesson for allies of the queer community to learn how to be supportive for queer folks in their coming out journey. And it can be a journey, because it's not always just like one moment. Where David said he like brought two people home and told his parents right. to deal with it, that was his journey. David or Patrick's has been gradual, and sometimes it can be lifelong. And I think that's part of, you know, too, the fact that we're even in Pride Month, like a good lesson to know that being pride doesn't mean being prideful and proud of, you know, your gender identity or your sexuality doesn't mean that you are automatically comfortable in being transparent mm-hmm. with everybody. I think it's,
like I said before, like everyone in this town knew, and everyone yeah. in the Rose family knew, mm-hmm. but we don't know how much that's extended to the rest of his life.
And it's not, there's no shame. There's no shame that's preventing Patrick or preventing people from living authentically in front of everybody. It's
just circumstances.
It's circumstances and often it's fear, which we know with Patrick. And so I think being an ally, it's just good to learn how to be a supportive ally and understand that it's mm-hmm. all about letting that person be authentically on their terms, however and they want that to be.
And don't make assumptions what the situation is, because like mm-hmm. there's no way to know.
So the fact that David is panicking is not anything against, you know, being proud of his identity.
He said, it's a personal thing, and you should do it on your terms.
Exactly. And I think this provides a lot of support, but also a lot of good lessons for people who are maybe new to, honestly, maybe a new ally and are trying to understand how to be a better ally. This episode's very informative.
That's a good point. And like I say, circumstantial, like in this case, it was just convenient for him because he was mm-hmm. away in his own little world.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that Christmas movie, Happiest Season, too, that mm-hmm. Dan Levy was in, where the main character, like, she didn't have to see her family. So she didn't have to be gay in front of her family. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was just convenient, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, totally. Yeah, that's a very good point. And then finally, just a couple of last minute feels. The pride of the whole family, including Stevie, just spying on them at the end with the whole situation. I just love it. Like how they're all so invested on the outcome of this. Even Stevie, Stevie makes it all the more sweeter because mm-hmm. she's a part of the family now. Mm-hmm. And then finally the romantics of the last dance and the last scene and their kiss at the end where Patrick mm-hmm. was like, come on, like they're not good actors. I knew.
Yeah.
And David finally had to fess up. And he said, I was just trying to make everything okay. And Patrick said, well, you did, you made everything mm-hmm. okay. And like, when I hear that, I just get like warm and fuzzy feels. Mm-hmm. So
totally
all the feels,
all the
that
feels.
Is my, that Woo! Is it. That's the end of the categories. It's the end of our episodes. I just saw my husband backing in the driveway, which means the silence in my house is over. So, Steph, do you have any last words that you want to kind of defend your episode on?
I'm feeling more nervous than I was last week, to be truthful.
I think I did good at defending my episode.
You did a
is that
really
what you're
good
saying?
Job. And you reminded me, that's what I mean. This is going to be really hard because
you've got
really important moments for Patrick and David. I think my episode really showcases Stevie and Moira and David. Yeah. And it has some great Alexis and Johnny redeeming moments. So it's kind of just like, it's going to really be up to the voters to decide which speaks to them the most. I think it'd be hard to find someone who doesn't care for either of these episodes in some way, but just think about when we break down these categories, which episode speaks to you the most, because I'm struggling now to even like think about how I want this to go. Even though this is Cabaret is my favorite episode of the series, I have to admit your episode is also so important. And
yeah.
And what are we going to do? We're just going to have to let them vote.
I know. I don't have any final words to say because I feel like we've said all I've said, but I have told you a million times that Moira being a mom is my sweet spot. And you, mm-hmm. I feel like you have the ultimate moment in this season. I love that fact.
Well, next season is kind of the final season, first of all. So that's a big thing. Also, it's kind of like the victory lap for the show, really.
I agree.
So that's going to be a fun ride.
I won't say that I don't like season 6. I will say that I have less emotional connection to it mm-hmm. just because we knew going in it was going to be the last season. Mm-hmm. I would say there's not a ton of character development just because they're wrapping things up. Yeah. It's just a default thing.
Totally.
I think they're more like fun episodes and that's it.
Yes.
Like next mm-hmm. season, you know?
Yes, I agree. I actually don't know. I haven't decided what my Simply the Best of season 6 is.
I don't know either. So I was thinking
about
that.
I've got some time to think about that.
So which, good thing you said that. We have some time off.
Mm-hmm, we do.
So this week is our last episode of season 5.
You guys will vote for us next week.
Yes.
Vote every day,
hopefully,
please.
Maximum participation.
Yes.
I think we probably will announce the winner before we come back because we're not coming back, guys, until probably close to the end of July. We're taking a few weeks off for mm-hmm. summer. We got 4th of July in there. We also have a trip to Canada planned.
Oh, Canada.
To see all the Schitt's Creek sites. Mm-hmm. So look for some Instagram posting while we're out doing that.
Yeah.
But I think if I clocked it right on the calendar, July 23rd will probably be our next release date for season 1 premiere. Mm-hmm. And then I know personally I have a couple big events coming up. So it'll probably be a little more sporadic of a season. Mm-hmm. At least from the start, but
yeah,
we're up for a long summer break here, but I'm excited about our trips.
Me too. And I hope you guys all have a great rest of Pride Month, a great July, 4th of July. If you celebrate 4th of July,
Pride is today in Grand Rapids, FYI.
Oh, awesome.
And last weekend was Grand Haven, which is your hometown.
Nice.
So.
I think Cincinnati's coming up too. So
excellent.
It's a good month.
Oh, and Detroit was last weekend too. When we were down
when
at
you
T
were there
Swift,
for the T Swift.
So.
Awesome.
It was the day our concert was Friday. It was the day after. So
cool.
Very it was a busy weekend in Detroit for sure. So, well, guys, again, vote mm-hmm. for all of our polls
it
starting
all
on Monday.
It comes down to you guys. So please.
We're both very passionate about
this. Very passionate.
I don't think I've ever been more prepared or more excited for a Simply the Best, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. And that includes Grad Night, which is my favorite of the entire series.
Yeah.
So
well, buckle up, you guys. It's going to be a crazy week.
I'm excited.
Yes.
All right. Well, until end of July-ish, guys, we wish you best wishes.
And warmest regards.
Simply the best. Better than all the rest. Fat Spatula.